Well, we thought we'd have a bit of a conversation. Shelly and I want to tell you a story tonight. God wants to tell us all a story tonight, and it's a beautiful story of our house, and it's a really great story of the faithfulness and the sovereignty of God. And we wanted to end Generosity Sunday not talking about money, because at the end of the day, generosity is not necessarily about wealth. I think sometimes we get it in our mind that generosity is for rich people. And once I get money or get wealth or get in a position like that, then I can start thinking about being generous. But the honest truth is that all of us are not in that position right now. Some of you are in school, in high school. Some of these middle school kids that were down here worshiping maybe don't have a lot of money. You might be a single parent, or you might be in a situation with your business or what happened in the economy, and you're just not in that zone right now where you would consider yourself to be a wealthy person. But here's the key. Generosity is not about being wealthy. Generosity is about being available. It's not reserved just for a select group of people who have financial resources. Generosity is about an attitude of life that says, I don't have a lot, but I'm willing to make myself and what I do have available to God. And when I make what I have available to God, then miraculous things can happen, and it really doesn't matter how much I make available or that I don't think I have that much to be available. It's that God can do the supernatural with whatever it is that we put in his hands. That's the story of the big crowd of people who gathered around Jesus. Remember that story told? He told it in all the Gospels, but John chapter 6. And the story says that there were 5,000 men and their families had gathered to hear Jesus teach. And the day got a little bit longer than everybody planned for, and now it's almost evening, and Jesus just lobs a little question out to his followers. And he says, so guys, how are you thinking we're going to feed everybody tonight? And the disciples, of course, are not, they're not pre-planners. And so they haven't thought through this whole scenario. And they're like, we have no idea. We don't have time to go into town and get food. And if we did, there wouldn't be enough food in town for 5,000 men and their families. So we don't know. What do you think we're going to do? And he says, well, what do you have? Isn't that the amazing question? It isn't what do you wish you had or what would you do if you had. Jesus just asked, what do you have? And so they looked around. They said, I don't know, give us a second and we'll let you know. So they started scouring the crowd of people looking for what they had. And as it turns out, there's only one person who had planned ahead that we know of in this story, and it was this boy, and he probably had been to one of these before. Maybe he remembered it went a little long last time. I think I'm taking some extra food with me. And so the story said he had 5 loaves and 2 small fish. So it wasn't like he was bringing a tuna in. He had 2 small fish, and they looked at the whole crowd. They came back to Jesus, and you know they were sheepish and embarrassed and like, oh, this isn't going to go very well, and okay, what do you got? And they're like, okay, here's what we got. Show them what we got, you know? And they put the 5 loaves and the 2 small fish out there, and I love that Jesus didn't say, you've got to be kidding me. Are you serious? What do you think we're going to do with that? He said, that what you got? Okay, we'll work with that. And that day, in that moment, the 5,000 men and their families were fed, and the story says they had 12 baskets of food left over that they gathered after everyone had eaten to the full. Because Jesus does the supernatural when we're available. And that's what generosity is all about. And I love that, because it doesn't matter where you or I are on the financial scale tonight, all of us can live a generous life by saying to God, put me in the story. Put me in play. I'm available to be used by you. I was reading this week in the story of when Jesus was born. I know we're not supposed to read that story in the middle of summer, but I was just reading a story in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 of when Jesus was born, and I think you know the passage. It says, and Mary gave birth, just read along with me out loud, to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in and because that's so awesome. Aren't you proud of yourself? You're like, yes, I knew that. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She laid him in a manger. Why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. And I was reading that in the new NIV translation, and I love the way it said it. It said, because there was no availability for them in the town. So while Bethlehem was saying, not available, while Bethlehem was flashing no vacancy signs, God Almighty was saying through his son Jesus Christ, I am available. So I know Bethlehem's not available tonight, but the Savior is available tonight. I know you're not available for me tonight, but I'm available for you tonight. And on this day in the city of David, a child has been born. He is Christ the Lord, and he will save his people from their sins. And Jesus was born with the sign on that said available. And when Jesus made himself available on that Bethlehem night, the supernatural began to happen for you and for me, and not just 5,000 men and their wives, but millions and hundreds of millions and billions of people's eternities have been changed because Jesus Christ said, I'm available. Yep. He was generous with his life. Isn't that awesome?
Yep.
And all of us are the beneficiaries of the generosity and the availability of Jesus. And because of that, we all now have this amazing that we may on-ramp to say, I want to be generous and I want to be available, God, to how you want to use me. And I want you to know today that that can happen to anybody in the room. I want to introduce you to somebody, Shelly and I do, and she is amazing. She is one of our recent high school senior graduates at Passion City Church. Her name is Adria King, and I want you guys to welcome Adria as she comes up to share with us. It's gonna be so great. Passion students represent.
I love it.
Adria's in the house. I love it. Adria, tell everybody a little snapshot of who you are, where you're from, what you do in life. You just graduated from high school. What's your GPA? What was your best subject? And did you go to homecoming, and did you like your date?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, I'm Adria, like Louis said. I just graduated high school from Eagles Landing Christian, which is a little
south. Is that it? That's
Eagles
all?
Landing.
Oh, yeah.
Eagles represent. Where are they? That's it. That's what you get. So go Eagles.
Hey, one's better than none.
One's better than none, and that's how many we had at the 11:15. Zero. So it's just me. So it's just me and you. I'm sorry.
My best subject, probably English, which my English teacher was here earlier, but she's not here now. My GPA, we're not going to touch base on that one. Homecoming, well, we don't actually have a homecoming dance, but we have a homecoming court. So
you'll have
I was
a homecoming
on,
Bible study?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay. When we went to prom, we called it the Bible bus.
You want to go to Bible study with me? I'm going to be the Bible study queen this year. It's pretty awesome.
Stop it. But
anyway, you were on homecoming court.
Yes, I won. I won homecoming.
You won homecoming.
Oh,
come on.
I did. Adria.
Come on.
That's huge.
You've been holding out on us all day long. I love it.
It's
so great. So. Where do you live? What town do you live in?
Well, technically I live in Jonesboro, but I say McDonough because no one really knows where either one of those places are. So.
McDonough is in the house?
Yeah.
That's so good. So when on your address, does it say Jonesboro or McDonough?
It says Jonesboro.
Okay, but you like McDonough better.
I like McDonough better.
What should we know about McDonough? Like, what's McDonough's claim to fame?
Well, I live there. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Homecoming right here.
Well, if you're a baseball fan, we're actually the hometown of Jason Hayward.
That's cool.
So from the Atlanta Braves, okay, obviously no
so
one's a Braves
fan. So many Braves fans here tonight.
I know.
What's wrong with you?
Wow, that was impressive. That hurt my ears. That was so loud. We won't tell Jason that because we like Jason Hayward at Passion City Church, and that's great. So you started door holding in our house. I love it. So you're a high school senior, and you think, I want to be a part of this whole thing that God is doing. I want to be a door holder. So you went online, you started signing up. How'd that process go, and where'd you end up door holding at Passion City?
All right, well, when I started filling out the process to be a door holder, I was like, this is really long, so they're thorough. And one of the questions is actually, do you have a preference to what grade you're going to be in? And I was like, no, it's fine, wherever you
want to
be.
So you were signing up saying you wanted to be in Passion Kids.
Yes, in Passion Kids.
That's why it was long and thorough.
Yes, yeah.
We check out our Passion Kids door holders very long and very thoroughly, and all the parents are happy about that.
Yes, so I finished the application, and I got the call the next week that was like, you know, we ran your background check, you're good. And I'm like, well, that's good, I'm only 18, hopefully. But she asked me again, she said, do you have a preference of what age group you want to be in? I said, no, you know, wherever you put me is going to be fine. So I went, and the first week I was in kindergarten girls, and it was great. It was awesome, phenomenal, loved it. And I was co-leading with a girl that I knew, so I was, you know, in a comfortable setting. So the next week when I got the planning center invite, it said first grade girls. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to accept. So I accepted it.
That we may.
Yes. And when I showed up the next week, all the girls, they were in their comfortable environment. So they knew their leaders. I didn't know them. I didn't know the girls. There was actually a time where I was asking the girl that I was leading with in kindergarten girls, I was like, is there any way I can come back? Like, this is just not, I'm feeling so out of place. But one day this little girl came in, and instantly I felt a connection to her. And I was like, I don't know what it is, but there's something about her. And she probably went home and told her mom that I stared at her all the time, because I did. But she left, and you know, a couple weeks went by, I didn't think anything about it, and she came back, and that feeling was there again. And I was like, all right, God, like, what is it? Because I don't know. And so we went to the pond, which is, you know, this is the pond, pretty much. And we came back, and we were just talking, and she said, this weekend, you know, me and my family, we went to a hotel, and we swam and did whatever. And so I'm like, just out of curiosity, I'm like, well, what do your parents do? And she said, well, my mom doesn't have a job anymore. Oh, no, my mom doesn't work, and my dad used to work, but he died last year. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that she was so comfortable enough to tell me that, that she didn't know me, and a seven-year-old little girl, just to say, you know, hey, this is where I am. And I just looked at her, and I said, well, when I was your age, my dad died too.
And you knew why God had put her on your heart.
Yeah.
In that moment. What'd she say when you told her that?
Well, she looked at me and she just said, I'm expecting some elaborate, like, oh, you know, that's some sentimental moment. She's just like, I really hate when that happens. And I just said, you know, fighting back tears and laughter. I'm just like, I really hate when that happens too.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you went in to serve in the first grade tent, but you had no idea that it wasn't necessarily that you were going to be giving your life away, but that God had set all this in motion so that he could start to do something in your heart.
Yeah. It's been such a healing process for me, just even 10 years later. It's such a picture of, Adria, this was you as this little girl, and at so many times I felt stuck in that little girl, like I couldn't get past that, but it was like, this was you as that little girl, but you were my little girl. And as a father, I carried you all the way to where you are right now, even just sitting on the stage, using your story 10 years later.
So great. I think we have a picture of you and your dad.
That's awesome.
I love that. Do you know how old you were in that picture?
I was probably like 6 or 7.
Yeah, so great. So you said to me and Shelley when we were talking earlier, you just said that over this course of 10 years, because you wrote about this, mm-hmm. this encounter with this girl, and you just talked about how 10 years later that you kind of were starting to figure out some of the mm-hmm. of the why.
Yeah.
Because you've been through some frustration, anger, disappointment, feeling all those feelings towards God and from God. And how has this interaction sort of played into that?
Well, I think like any person who loses a loved one, you ask why. You question God, and that's where, you know, we always say, like, God is good all the time. But for me, it was, okay, God, if you're good, then this has got to be good somehow. And a couple years ago, a camp counselor shared with me the verse in John, and it just says, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand. And in that moment, when that little girl looked at me and she just said the words that, you know, my dad died, it was like, Adria, this is why.
Hmm. No one else could have been in that moment but you.
Yeah.
To really fully understand that, it's so powerful. And I've just seen in these last few weeks, God's opening your heart, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe just some things that sort of got pushed aside. Mm-hmm. Maybe things that maybe you thought, I just don't know if I'm going to deal with that. But all of a sudden now this little bitty first grade girl mm-hmm. and her bright eyes and even her little, don't you hate it when that happened? It just opened something in your heart, didn't it? For yeah. God to start maybe a new process in you.
Yeah. Well, at the time all this happened, you were actually in the passion and purpose. So I was like, okay, God, anything I do, show me what my purpose is here. And so, but from when that happened, it went from passion and purpose to this is why your pain has a purpose. Mm. And this is why, you know, 10 years later, my pain has opened the door of, you know, God willing, I can walk through this journey of life with her and say, hey, you know, this is where you're going to get. But her pain has opened a door for my healing, too.
Mm. Awesome. Wow.
Thank you for saying yes to Planning Center and going to the first grade tent when your most comfortable place was to stay in the kindergarten tent, and for being an amazing person and sharing some of your story with us. Isn't that just incredible, just for her to be able to open her heart, share a little bit of that with us? Awesome. So awesome. You know, I want to introduce you to someone else, and that little girl's mom and you ended up having a conversation, interaction together, and I want to introduce you guys to Courtney Prey. This is the mom of the little girl.
Hey.
You guys welcome Courtney. She's going to come up and share with us.
Love you.
Courtney, thank you so much for just stepping in and being a part of this God story. Tell us, tell everybody, everyone now knows a little bit of your story, but they don't really know, you know, that bigger picture. So tell everybody who you are and sort of what life is about and has been about for you.
My name's Courtney, and I was married at a young age to the love of my life, my high school, pre-high school sweetheart. Andrew and I have been married almost 11 years. We have 3 children. Andrew was a worship pastor here in the Atlanta area and also an avid cyclist, loved riding his bike. And this past November, on November 21st, he was killed in a cycling accident. And so in an instant, the entire trajectory of my life took a whole new turn. And so now I've found myself standing in the middle of a million broken pieces, just trusting that God is going to pick them back up and restore. And we had been coming, the kids and I have been coming to Passion City some on and off since January. And there was one weekend that we had. Weekends are definitely the hardest for me because that's normally when Andrew would be home. And we just, his loss has just really felt more on the weekends. And there was this one rainy, dark Saturday that I woke up and I just needed a change of scenery, needed to get out of the house. And so I asked the kids, I said, hey guys, what do y'all think about going to a hotel in Buckhead and spending the night, going swimming? And the next morning, you know, we can go to Passion City, and they were all for it. So we did. We packed up. We drove down here and spent the night. The next morning, we were just not feeling it. And there was just such a struggle there of, should we go? Should we not? I don't know. Like, you know, we just weren't feeling it. And my daughter especially was like, Mommy, I don't have any friends. I don't really want to go today. And I said, well, okay. In that moment, I just prayed, God, you know their hearts. Would you just please give them what they need? Fill these empty spaces, Jesus, like only you can, and lead us and do in them what, give them what only you can, because I don't know what to give them, and I don't know what to do. And so in that moment, my son, he piped up and said, Mom, we're going to Passion City. I said, all right, let's do it. So we just pushed through. We got in the car and we drove here and dropped the kids off that morning, attended the gathering, and I went back to pick up my kids. And I noticed especially that my daughter, Hallie, She just seemed very fulfilled. And for that, I was grateful. I was like, thank you, Jesus. You know, everyone, their hearts. God had just taken care of their hearts like I had prayed. And for that, I was grateful. We didn't have many conversations about it, but we went on. And a week or two later, I was attending a Bible study with some girls here from Passion City. And one of our student leaders said, Courtney, did you hear about Adria? And I said, no, who's Adria? And she said, well, she is Hallie's tent leader. She's in her tent, and her dad died when she was 7, 8 years old. And I said, are you kidding me? And she said, yeah, they're in the same tent. And at that moment, I knew why Hallie had seemed so fulfilled. Because Hallie, God put the two of them together and allowed their paths to cross. Yeah. And Hallie was able to identify with Adria and, like, you get it. Adria gets it. Mm-hmm. She told me, Mommy, she does get it. And I said, wow, that's amazing. So
strong. So that day, yeah, they met and they had that encounter, but you didn't know that it happened that day,
right?
At all. That wasn't until later you found out. You knew there was a story. You knew there was an Adria. I think we might have a picture, yeah, of your family though. I want to show everybody, yeah, because I want them just to see Andrew and see your kids. So amazing, yeah, so beautiful. And so you found out there's this Adria girl, and God put her,
yeah,
in Hallie's life, and it's the answer to my prayer. And yeah, I'm so glad we went that morning, even though we,
that's
weren't
right,
going to go, because God had this moment, yeah, for Adria and for Hallie, and it happened that day. But eventually you started looking for,
that's right,
Adria. You're like, where, yeah, is this girl? I got to find this girl.
Yeah, a couple of weeks later, I sought her out after one of the gatherings, and I just said, Adria, thank you so much for pouring into my daughter and loving on her, and just really thanking her for that. And she had told me that, I asked her when did your dad die? And she said, 10 years ago in November. And I said, I'm sorry, I just have to ask, like, what was the day? She said, November 21st. Mm-hmm. November 21st is the same day that Andrew went to be with Jesus. Mm-hmm. So 10 years later, here's this girl that God put in my daughter's life. What a beautiful picture of God's faithfulness and healing, and that she and I both just wept and were in awe of how God is so mindful of us. Yeah. All the way up into the very last detail of the day. Yeah. And I'm just, God, this is you. Mm. Thank you, Jesus. Mm. Thank you for filling in these empty spaces and doing what only you can.
You know, the scripture, yeah, says, I love it. Jesus said, not one single sparrow falls to the ground that my Father doesn't know about. And so we know if he's that dialed in to the sparrows, how much more, yeah, is he dialed into his children? And I love that it wasn't just some sort of a meeting, but it was this very specific, God-ordained, undeniable moment for you both to know and for Hallie to know. I know it's hard, but I'm here, and I love you, and I'm for you. And I just think it's such a powerful picture of the presence of God in the midst of our darkness and even in our pain, and doing what only he can do to wrap his arms around us. Isn't that just a beautiful story of the faithfulness, the goodness, the specific love of God? I just love these guys sharing this, and I'm so grateful to you both for just being willing to just kind of open your hearts, because you're both in process. This is both an ongoing story for you, and there's a long road ahead for you, and God is in that with you, but we also understand this is life, and I just am so grateful for these guys being willing to step up tonight and just share their story with us. But as I heard the story about you guys, I knew there was another part of this story. And I started hearing how God had woven this together, and Shelly and I were like, uh-huh, but there's another person in this story. Someone else was available that made all this happen, and that person happens to be Carrie Stanfill. Mm-hmm. And Carrie, I want you to come and join us, and I want you guys to welcome Carrie. You know Christian already, but this is the other half of Christian and Carrie. So awesome. So Carrie, I know that this story actually started with you, and I know you don't want that kind of attention,
right.
But I know sort of a little bit of the backstory. And so when Andrew had his accident, a lot of people in Atlanta found out about it, especially the faith community of Atlanta. The news traveled around to churches and other pastors and worship leaders. It was in the media in Atlanta. And a lot of our hearts just immediately went out to Courtney and her family, and yours did. But a series of events started in your heart. Tell us about what was stirring in your heart, and where did that lead you?
Well, like a lot of maybe even some people in this room, I heard about Andrew's accident on Twitter. Didn't know him, had never heard of the praise before. But just when I read about the accident and started reading more about her family, and just saw that they had three kids similar ages to my kids, and that they got married young like Christian and I did, I just started like feeling not just the brokenness for the tragedy of the story, but just felt so connected to her, because it was like I could put myself there, you know, and feeling like that could, like, we're so similar, you know, our stories. And so I just started just praying for her and praying for her kids, and just really, I can't explain it, but just felt so burdened, so broken. And I just remember on Thanksgiving Day, we were on our way to Thanksgiving, and it was almost like I couldn't enjoy the day because I was so heavy for them. And so I just started praying for them, but also just started thinking the more days that went on that I felt this heaviness, I was like, I've got to do something. You know, I want to do something more than just praying, but I'm sure, you know, I felt like I didn't have anything to offer, you know, to Courtney. And didn't know her, didn't know how to get in touch with her, even if I thought of something to do, but just kept feeling like I need to do something. So I kind of started feeling prompted, like I really felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, you should invite her to Passion. Because this was, you know, around Thanksgiving, Passion was coming up in the Georgia Dome, and I just felt like, you know, I don't have much to give her, but I know Jesus is going to be in the dome, and I know that that's the best thing that I could give of what I had. And so I started looking for her email, couldn't find, she wasn't on Facebook.
Wow.
Wasn't on Facebook. wasn't on Facebook, and you know, I wasn't going to just tweet at her. And hey, how's it going? So I kind of spent, you know, like an hour one day looking for a way to get in touch with her, and really kind of came to a dead end and felt like, okay, well, I tried, you know. And I just know most of the time when I think of doing something, not maybe most of the time, but a lot of times when I think of doing something, I don't follow through, you know. I just think, like, I might, you know, think I should really write this note or send this text or, you know, shoot this person email, or even send somebody money. Like you said, God put something on your heart, and so many times I may just not follow through. And a lot of times that was me. And honestly, almost to a point of conviction, of feeling like, Carrie, you've got to step into this. And Christian had been sharing with me back in November about, in 2 Corinthians 8:11, it talks about the best thing, the Message version says, the best thing you can do right now is not let your good intentions go stale, but finish what you started. And so I just, so that kind of came to the forefront of my heart in that moment of just being like, you know what, I know I've kind of hit a dead end, but I really feel like this is important, yeah. You know? So turns out Krishna had a conversation with somebody at church who knew Andrew, and I was like, well, maybe he has her email. So I shot him a Facebook message and anyway, got her email, sent her an email, and invited her to Passion, and totally expecting that she probably wouldn't even respond.
So you send this email thinking, okay, I've done what God wanted me to do, but maybe a little bit you're hoping she's going to say, thank you so much, that was really amazing, but I'm going to be out of town. Because totally. If she shows up at Passion, you're not 100% sure what you're going to do at that point.
Totally, yeah. The next day, she sent me back an email. And I honestly really was surprised. I just thought for where she was, I mean, this was only probably 2 or 3 weeks after Andrew had died. So I really wasn't expecting to hear back from her, especially not that quickly. And when she did, I just remember my stomach, like, I was in knots, you know, thinking, okay, it was hard enough. I mean, first of all, it took me, you know, a long time to write the first email. Because what do you say? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just hard knowing in that moment. I haven't walked through tragedy personally like that, and I haven't even walked that closely with somebody through that kind of tragedy. And so there was a lot of fear about what I'm going to say to her and how I'm going to speak into this at all, you know, because I knew I was going to meet her. So at this point, she's like, yes, I'd love to come. And so I'm thinking a few weeks down the road to Passion. And so we get there and meet the first night.
So she walks in. You've never met. What's that like, the first time y'all see each other?
Are you Karen? Yeah. We didn't know each other. So it was like, are you? Yeah, okay, yeah. And just big hug and... Yeah, you could just sense the heaviness on her, you know, just meeting her the first time. And what is amazing, though, about Courtney is that even in that moment when I was so fearful of walking, I just remember walking down the hall to go meet her and literally just praying, like, Jesus, I don't know what to say. I don't. You know, I don't know. In those moments, you don't want to say something stupid to somebody, especially having not walked through it. I'm like, I don't know. And but what's so amazing about Courtney is that she makes it easy. She's so gracious and so kind in that she almost put me at ease. I'm like, wait a second. But just, it was such a sweet moment meeting her for the first time.
But you had come, Courtney, you said that was a really, really hard week for you coming in to Passion.
Yeah, so it had been about a month since Andrew died, and I had just come off of the hardest week of my life. It was Christmas, first Christmas without Andrew there. I'd been in Arkansas all week, which is where Andrew was buried, and I had spent some time by his grave one day, and as I got in the car, I put my hands on the steering wheel, and I was driving away from the cemetery that day. I prayed out loud. I said, God, I just left half of me in that grave. You are going to have to call me back to life and bring me back to life. Breathe life into my dry bones because I cannot do this. So I leave that day. We leave Arkansas, come back to Atlanta. I roll up to Passion that night. I am literally just undone, so fragile, so broken. I've experienced the most unspeakable pain ever. And I am just trusting that, okay, God, you've got me here for a reason. Here I am. Do what only you can do, because I need you, and I am desperate for you. I am desperate for a word from you. I knew Carrie maybe 30 minutes, and we were sitting in the dome. And I will say this, I felt so abandoned. I felt like I know that God says in his word he will never leave or forsake you, but I felt like he had. I was feeling that. And I was, and I know, God, that your love never fails. I know this, but I'm feeling like it has in this moment. So God, please heal me. And Carrie leaned over to me. Didn't even know her. Complete stranger at this point. She goes, Courtney, I just feel like I need to tell you this. And she looked at me and said, God is nearer to you now than he's ever been. And his heart is for widows, and his heart is for orphans. That you are his heart. He is so near. And God answered her prayer of speaking through her. Jesus gave her the exact words that my heart needed in that moment to begin to open this door of healing. So the worship went on. This was January 1st, first night of Passion. The worship started. There's some lyrics in one of Chris's songs that says, you've got, you hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. Then it says, you are faithful. And I could not utter the words out of my mouth that night. I wanted to. I knew he was faithful, but I wasn't feeling it, so I was just going to back up. Louis got up later on and opened the word to Ezekiel 37. And in that chapter, God takes the dry bones and he repairs and restores the ligaments, wraps them up with skin, and breathes life in them again. I look over at Carrie and I just start weeping. And I said, are you kidding me? And she has no idea the week that I have just come off of. I mean, has no idea. We just met. Knows nothing about me. And I just looked at her. Are you kidding me? Of all the places that I could have been that night, God had me and wanted me right there to hear that word. God used Louis in an incredible way in my life that night. And Carrie and Shelley to open the door to healing. And I'm so grateful for this girl. This is this house has become a house of healing for me, not only me, but for my children. And God's faithfulness, I can say it with everything in me now. I know he is faithful. Yeah, so good. He's so good. Yeah.
Let's just all breathe. Carrie, I'm thinking in my mind, because I think a lot of people can relate to what you went through. I know I can. And God put something on our heart, and he says, I want you to be available. And then we start to tell God all the reasons why we can't be available. And they're all great reasons. I'm thinking maybe some of you have felt the same reasons that Carrie felt. Well, I don't know her. Did I ever use that one? I should reach out or do something or step in the gap, but I don't know her. I don't know how to get a hold of her. I don't know how to contact her. If I did know how to contact her, I don't know what I would say. I might say the wrong thing and make it worse, and then it would be worse if I had never even reached out to her in the first place. Anybody tracking with me so far? She's probably too busy. Ever thought that one? I would reach out or I would be available, but I bet they're too busy. She lost her husband, and she probably is overwhelmed right now, and she doesn't need one more person she doesn't know. Some chick just sending her a random email saying, hey, you don't know me, but I feel like I'm supposed to reach out to you. She's probably going to be out of town for the holidays. She probably doesn't want to come to the dome. She's probably not at a place in her life where she needs to step. You know, and you just go all the way down the list, don't we? And at the end of the day, we say, not available. And I'm just so encouraged, Carrie, by the fact that of all those hurdles, which you felt so many of those hurdles, that you just kept leaning in and saying, you know what? I'm going to go through with what God has put on my heart. And I'm going to take this step. And
so great.
Had you not taken that step, Courtney's not sitting in the dome hearing that word and going, this is God in my life. And if you don't take that step, Adria doesn't walk into that tent. And if you don't take that step, we're not sitting here talking right now, but you took the step.
Yeah.
And you made yourself available to God.
Good.
It's so encouraging. So tell us on the backside. I know you were thinking, I'm just going to send this email. I don't know what's going to happen, but a lot has happened.
So I think I'm going to send the email, may not even hear from her, meet in the dome, think. Honestly, I thought I'll meet with her that first night and then kind of let her do her thing, you know, host her that first night and then let her do it on her own. I'm just that way. I like to like kind of sit in the background, you know, and kind of like this.
Me too, Carrie. Me too.
So, anyway, but what's been so amazing and something so unexpected is the friendship that has been born out of this, this email and her coming to Passion. And I have received so much from Courtney, which is crazy because the fact that she feels like her life is in a million pieces, and in a sense it is, and yet God is still pouring out of her and into my life. And my faith has been sharpened. My trust in Jesus has been sharpened. I've gained a best friend. We like joke, it's like we were separated at birth or something. I mean, seriously, and I think, you know, just what if? Selfishly, I'm like, just for me, not even for all of this, but like, I'm like, what if I had never emailed her? Like, what if, you know, I just didn't, and I would be missing a great friend. And just the way that I just feel like God has been so good to me in this, that he has allowed our friendship. It's awesome.
So encouraging, and I know everybody can feel this at some point tonight. And Adria, I just want you to know you're amazing.
Yep.
I'm like looking at you like, where'd you come from? You know, you're 18 years old and you just have so much life about you. And I know I've watched Courtney and how she's been so encouraged by you because you have a 10-year story and at the end of it, God is still faithful.
Yeah.
You're still standing.
Yeah.
You're still smiling.
Yeah.
You still believe and you're just radiant and beautiful and amazing.
Yeah.
And we're so, so glad to just be able to have a glimpse into the way God's used you. And Courtney, I don't know. You know, I think anybody here tonight that maybe is thinking in their mind, I don't really know if there's a God, and I don't really know if God's big enough or strong enough to do the kinds of things I need to be done. You are a living, breathing picture right this moment, sitting on that sofa, of the supernatural, miraculous power and life of Jesus. And thank you so much for just coming in the midst of it all and letting us just see the hope of Jesus on your face and the life that is in you, even in the face of such difficulty.
Yeah.
It's beautiful and amazing. And Shelly and I have been so blown away just by the privilege we've had in the last few months of being around your life. And Carrie, you're an awesome rock star. You know, everybody thinks Christian's the rock star, but now we know who the rock star is and the Stanfield family. It's Carrie right here. And Christian actually got in the story, so he got a little shout out in the story for having the Corinthians passage. So way to go, Christian. That was awesome and amazing. But could you just thank these ladies and the God who's been faithful to them for the way that he's just poured out and used their lives in such an amazing way? Thank you. I remember the night that Adria blogged about her story, and Shelley was reading it in the bed. We were still awake, and Shelley started, and she got about a paragraph in, and then she just started losing it, and she just handed me the computer, and I read for a little bit, and it just really, it kind of wrecked into our hearts and just rocked our lives. Yeah. It's so, so powerful.
Yeah, you guys are pretty glad you came to church tonight, aren't you? Isn't that awesome, awesome, awesome? And you know what's the best part of it to me is just hearing about the faithfulness of God. And I love that these are real girls. This is their real life. And they were willing to share that tonight with us in such an honorable way to God. And my favorite thing about it is just thinking about the fact that God has the same story for our lives. And that's what they would, I think, want you to know, is that they're just real people who are trying to follow Jesus. And sometimes it goes really, really well in life, and sometimes it's really, really challenging. And you've seen a picture of all of that in this moment. And every one of us in this room can relate to one of these pieces of the story, right? I mean, there's Carrie, who is just trying to follow the Holy Spirit. All she's trying to do is hear and obey. And I'm like, that is my struggle every day. I hear, sometimes I obey, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm so cluttered in life, I can't hear it very well. And so just the fact that she was listening for God, and that he was speaking into her heart, and that she was willing to have the courage to follow, that challenges me. I don't know about you. And then there's Courtney, who had her life in one form. She thought, I'm married, I have three kids, we're leading worship, this is my life. And there's an intersection, and all of a sudden her life completely changes. Everything about her life changes in one split second. And that's what's happened in a lot of our lives. A lot of us don't know it yet, but it will be happening in some of our lives. And yet God is faithful. He's true to her today. Her life is completely different, but she knows that God is with her and God is for her. And so she's willing to sit on this sofa. It just blows my mind. Mm-hmm. And speak about God. That's awesome. And then there's Adria, who is 18. What were you guys like at 18? I was not that cool. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I was not that cool. She's bold. She's willing to trust God. She's willing to go be a door holder in an uncomfortable situation. You know, some of us are 40 and we will not go in uncomfortable situations. We always want something around us to pat us in everything in life. And there's Adria saying, you know what? Passion City keeps talking to me about door holding, and I'm going to door hold, and I'm going to go to Passion Kids, and I'm going to check the box that says whatever you want, because I'm willing to stand in there with God and believe that he has something for me. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. It challenges my life tonight just to listen to that. And it just reminds me about the sovereignty of God in our life. And that's what all three of these girls are talking about. That's what Louie's talking about tonight. That somehow overarching all of our lives is the sovereignty of God piece, where even when things are going haywire, he's still holding us. And like Courtney said, he's got me in his hand. There is nothing that can happen to us that he did not know about and that he is not in control of. And tonight is just a beautiful reminder of that. I think some of you guys were around last weekend, but we had a worship leader conference here, if you weren't. It's called Lift. And all of our team was able to lean into that. And it was absolutely beautiful to have 2,000 worship leaders in our house. Some of you served as door holders. Thank you again for doing that. They were so blown away. Mm-hmm. Not so much by the content, although I think that was amazing, but by your faces, by your expressions of love to them, that's all they've talked about. So thank you. But while they were here, it was a little bit chaotic. There was a lot going on in that one short 24-hour period. And we had our team leading Friday night, and we were trying to record a record Saturday night for Redmond, and there was a lot of in-between. We were trying to shoot video. We always bite off more than is humanly possible. And so once again, we had done that. And so as a person that's in the middle of a lot of those pieces, I was very calm on the outside. I have a really cool way of being calm on the outside, but I was a little bit feverish on the inside. And so I realized about halfway through the afternoon on Saturday that we had invited several radio guys from all over the country to come and attend Lift. And the reason we had done that primarily was because these guys are touched by the music that our house produces, right? Our house has these amazing worship leaders. They write these amazing songs, and then they circle the globe. And it is so mind-blowing that that's happening from here. But these guys get touched by that music, but they don't always get to see our heart. They're not always in a position where they can be a part of what our community is about. And so when it came time for Lift, we thought, well, what a great chance. We'll invite some of those guys here, guys and girls. They'll come and be able to see sort of more of the heartbeat behind this music. And so they came, which was awesome. So back to my story. Saturday afternoon, I realized I haven't even said hello to these people. They came from all over the country. I literally, it's my life and my job is to say hello to these people, and I haven't. So I talked to Mike and just say, hey, I need to intersect with these people. He says, I'll meet you after the session out in the hallway, and we'll do a quick hello. So we go out there, and we're all just standing in a circle together. And there's several of them, maybe 20 of us total. And one of the guys says to me, there's not really a lull. I'm just trying to say hi to people. But he kind of interrupts the moment, and he says, hey, I have a quick question for you. And it started with this, which I thought was great. He said, I understand that you guys don't do anything at Passion City Church or with Passion or Six Steps that is non-intentional. I notice everything that you do, you've very much intended. And I was like, true. And so he said, well, if you intended everything you did, then what's the intention of the giant painting that's in the back of the auditorium at Passion City Church? Most of you guys haven't probably even noticed it. Well, you want to turn around and take a look if you haven't seen it? There's a big painting in the back of our auditorium. And I was like, oh,
it's
wow.
A real painting also.
It is a painting.
People think we projected that up there, but
no,
someone actually...
No, we had a girl come and paint that for us, and she's a marvelous artist. And I was like, oh my goodness, there is a painting in the back of our auditorium. Absolutely. And we did intend that, and I had completely forgotten that that was there. And here's what I said to him, and I thought this was a beautiful picture, and I want to read you guys a quick passage, and then we'll close. But I said to him, you know what? That's a painting of the Last Supper of Jesus. It's what the picture is. And I said, the reason that that's up in our auditorium is not so much for the people that attend Passion City Church, although I'm sure when they're walking out, they get the benefit of seeing a beautiful piece of art. But for us who lead from the stage, it's a beautiful reminder of what our intention and heart is, and that is to serve. There's absolutely no greater privilege, is there, in life than to serve. It's the highest calling of Jesus. It's what he came to do, and it's certainly what we want to be about. And so every single time we lead, we're looking at your faces who are being touched by Jesus, but we're staring at that painting that has a beautiful picture of Jesus serving the people he loved the most. And there's not a Sunday that goes by that we don't notice that that's what's there and that that's what we're here for. And it is so mind-blowing and heart-blowing that we get to be a part of that. That is the kingdom of God. And it is a huge honor to be able to serve in that way. I want to read this passage for you. It's in John 13. If any of you guys want to look it up on your phones or anything, you can. It says, starting in verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God, he was going back to God, he rose from supper, he laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he wrapped it around his waist. He poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. And he began to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus said, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered to him, if I do not wash your feet, you do not share with me. So Simon Peter, of course, said, Lord, wash my hands, my head, and my feet. Sounds like us, doesn't it? And Jesus said to him, it's only your feet. Isn't that amazing to think that Jesus, in the last moments of his life, this is before he is going to be crucified, takes his disciples aside, and he doesn't teach them life lessons. He doesn't lecture them. He loves them. And the way he loves them is by serving them. I'm just like, oh my word, what a beautiful picture of our life and what we're here for, what our intentions are, and what our heart should be about. And it challenges me every day. This picture of these girls is such a beautiful representation of just the attitude and heart for serving other people, of putting other people ahead of yourself, and of loving them the way that Jesus has dearly loved you.